Welcome back to another edition of the OHIO podcast. I'm your host, Buckeye Boggs. That man over there is the wild man, Chris Wilds. And that man down there is in the nose, milky, silky smooth, JR, fresh off a little vacay. Mine was a little shorter than yours, JR, but we're here nonetheless. Is it any better, JR, or are you still flying blind here?
I can see you guys now, but yeah, it's just a big error message in the middle of my screen. So I can't see myself though, so that's an improvement actually.
Oh, okay. Well,
so
hey,
if my screen goes black or something, just let me know because I have no idea what I look like on screen right now.
Well, you know what, JR? Like we like to say, if you don't like the way we look, you can always just listen to the audio version of our show. Find us anywhere you get your podcasts.
You're
Stitcher,
a pro, Eric.
Spotify, all of that good jazz. And JR is back, and the robe is on, so things are going to get a little bit touchy tonight. Make sure that you go and check us out over at the College Huddle, collegehuddle.com. That's where you'll find us and 73 of our other closest friends, possibly soon to be maybe 74. We're really working hard on a USC podcast. Just spoke to them today. They went really well, and I think they're going to fit in just fine with what we do over at the College Huddle, so we'll see if they decide to join. But go over to collegehuddle.com, check that out, and you can find all of our links, social media links for the College Huddle, including the YouTube channel where JR is host of the College Huddle college show, national show, as well as the Big Ten Huddle. Sean is asking for one of these tonight, Chris, or JR. Think you can supply him with one of those?
I can't see the comments. I'm sorry.
He says, can I get a woo?
Woo!
There it is.
Yeah, you guys have to read the comments to me. The error message is right over like the old bottom of the screen.
Guys. Jay Thompson, aloha, boys. He's in Hawaii.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm officially jealous.
Yeah, we're all jealous of Jay tonight.
And I just spent 6 hours in a car with two screaming children. That was my vacation.
Better than a nagging wife. You're not going to answer that one?
Whoa, just wait. Why would you even go down that path? Why would you bring that evil upon yourself now, Eric?
First off, my wife doesn't nag, and so she knows I wouldn't be saying this about her. Okay,
my wife nags, Eric.
Does she?
No comment.
She's obviously not watching tonight. Hey,
well,
listen,
she never watches.
My wife is a great co-pilot. We had a great time on our short little vacation. We always love to go back to Erie, Pennsylvania, and hang out at Presque Isle, go to Geneva on the lake, and cool. Doreen's rocking her OHIO podcast official member t-shirt, so that's fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah. I got a story about that that's going to be really interesting to talk about and dissect in the second part of this show. But make sure you go and check out the Ohio podcast over at Scarlet and Game, which is a part of the Fansided Network. We are the official Ohio State podcast of Fansided, so go check that out. And by all means, please go over to our website, theohiopodcast.com. Read great articles, get links to the store where you can find all those items that are so lovely, lovely placed behind Chris there, as well as our Tumblr, which we sent the first one autographed to who got that? Gilmore, right?
Gilmore. David
and,
Gilmore.
Yeah, and we sent that to him, and he's actually in the chat tonight, and he received that, sent me a picture of it, and with his official member t-shirt. Very cool. How you get one of those official member t-shirts is you become officially a member. You do that over at YouTube. It's so simple. Just go ahead and hit the join. It's $3.99 a month. After a month, we'll send you a official membership t-shirt, and we are on back order already for the larger sizes, Chris. Already.
That's good.
It's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. So if you are small, medium, or large, boy, we got you covered.
You know what that tells me, Eric? Next year's spring game tailgate, we better make sure we got plenty of hot dogs.
Bring the bigger sizes. That's right. That's right. Okay, guys, tonight's show is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk about the wide receiver position in the Big Ten. And then I got in the second part of the show a story about Penn State that's going to lead to a further discussion. So the only question tonight is how many Buckeyes should be on this list now?
9.
10.
All 10. I know
less,
the chat.
Less wide receivers than I have offensive linemen. That is my prediction here.
I don't know how that's impossible.
Yeah. Here's the other update for you tonight. Alex, Eric, did you get my email about Statmasters versus humans and allowing opinions about our team? Yes, I did, Alex. I did get that email. Thank you. And by the way, any of you can email us. It's really simple. TheOhioPodcast@gmail.com. So if you ever have any questions, any comments, anything like that, send them to email. We appreciate it. All right, guys. So here's the thing about this before we dive into it. I'm going to ask you your criteria. Because if you simply go off of – and I had this argument with a Michigan fan this week. I mean, we went back and forth. If you simply just go on stats alone, then why are we doing a list? You just take the top stats and you say, here are the best returning people based off statistics. Mm-hmm. On the same token, you can't just do projections completely, because if you're just going to do projections, then you're going to make JR mad when you pick the running back for Oregon number one.
Yes.
Okay.
Very mad.
Well, if you go just off numbers, you're throwing common sense out the window, Eric.
Maybe. I think stats help with common sense, but stats don't take into account things like historically how well people do in a certain offense if they're now getting a full-time opportunity, a la Ohio State's wide receiving core outside of Emeka Egbuka this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We know Emeka Egbuka is going to, if he stays healthy, is going to have a really good year. But if you take his stats from last year alone, he's not even in the top 8 in the Big Ten in returning production.
Right.
On the flip side of that, if you're only going to do stats alone, then the two highest returning guys in the Big Ten are from group of 5 people who've transferred to new Big Ten schools.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not fair either. And so there really is not an exact science to do this. So that's why we want to take all 3 of our opinions and we calculate that to come up with what we feel is a really good, solid top 10 list. Now, that being said, we are biased, Michigan fan, just like you are.
Very.
So the people who wanted to argue with me about the cornerback position, JR, you do that when you weren't on the show, by the way.
What did you guys do?
Weak.
I didn't get a chance to watch the video.
What'd weak.
Everybody saw who you put number 1, by the way.
I hated myself for it. I hope everybody
knows. And you
that.
Should.
Yeah.
We all hated
I wanted
you
to
too.
Punish myself. And I did. I sat in a car with 2 screaming children for 6 hours. I got punishment enough. Thank you.
There you go.
That was my karma. God frowned upon me for rating a Michigan player number 1.
So that's what we're getting at. Is this not an exact science? And so this is going to be a lot of fun. So here we go. So I will start.
Wait, who'd you guys have number 1? Sorry, I don't want to rehash it all. Who'd you guys have number 1? It's
Burke. Denzel Burke.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and Michigan laughs at that. And I go, dude, look at the stats. Straight up, Denzel Burke had the ball thrown his way half as much as the Michigan guy did.
And better stats overall.
And had better stats. But yet, somehow he's number 1? Based off what? Their bias.
And he had extra games to get the extra throws, you know?
And that being said, if one more person tries to tell me that EA Sports rankings should matter, I'm going to blow a freaking gasket. It's
absolutely
a video game. It is not real life. The way some of you treat EA Sports rankings like it is the be-all, end-all for how you should rank people, I'm getting redder than my face is already, and I'm burnt. Dang it. All right, let's get going. Chris,
sorry,
your first,
didn't mean
JR,
to rehash
your,
all that.
Chris, your first, JR, your second. I'll go third. Number 10, we're doing wide receivers. Top 10, Big Ten returning wide receivers in 2024, and one of mine is not actually returning. Go, Chris.
Eric, for me, I'll tell you what, you talked about the transfers with the big numbers. This is where I'm going to put one at, and that is Demir Miller, the transfer from Monmouth. 90 catches, 1,295 yards, 9 touchdowns, a 14.4 yard per catch rating. That being said, it was Monmouth. So while I think he's talented, I can't in good conscience put him up in the top five, given that it was Monmouth. So I got him in at number 10.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Jay. Thank you. Not only is it a video game, but the project was ran by a TTUN alum. Bingo. All right. All right, here we go. Number 10 for me. This guy last year had 88 catches for 1,376 yards, 19 touchdowns for a school called Chaminade Madonna Prep. That's right. I'm talking true freshman. The first time we've ever done this on the OHIO podcast, Jeremiah Smith, he's not returning. He is a true freshman. This is the first time we've ever done this on this show. I'm picking a true freshman in the top 10 on that position.
Only the top 10, Eric?
Eric, you are way off based on this one. Because you've got him at number 10. We'll talk about it more later.
All right. Did I skip you, JR? I'm sorry.
No, I apparently this thing is going to time me out every 10 minutes. So
what?
Yeah, so I'll leave for 10 seconds, that'll happen, hold on. And then I'll come right back.
After you do this, what I'll do, JR, is I'll send you an invite as a guest, and then you can come in as a guest.
Okay. All right, so my number 10, I didn't really know if this was justified, and then I had a little spat with a USC fan on Twitter today about it, so now I feel justified. I have Zachariah Branch, the USC wide receiver, number 10. If I were ranking him as an overall player, I would have him higher because I do think he's probably the best punt returner in the Big Ten this year. I don't know about kick returner. He did muff two last year, one against Notre Dame and one against USC, I believe. So I do think that muffs matter, and that's a big deal for you to muff two kicks in one season. But overall, he was playing behind some really good talent last year, had 300 yards. Wasn't exactly a target machine, but boy is he athletic, and boy is he very, very fast. He's gonna be good this year for USC, I think. But I also don't think USC is gonna light the world on fire, so I'll put him at number 10.
Okay, so that brings me to number 9, right? So number 9, you know, this kind of surprised me because this is one of two guys from this team which I did not expect to be on the list for receivers twice. That's Donovan McCulley, the converted quarterback from over in Indiana. Last season, 48 catches, 644 yards, 6 touchdowns, 13.4 yards per catch. You know, he was not a great quarterback, but he is a very good athlete and has turned himself into a very good receiver that I think will only get better this season.
All right. Is JR back?
He is back, it looks like.
Okay. Let me add him to the video here. There we go. JR, you are up, number 9.
All right, still getting the same message. We'll have really? To work on it afterward. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Who'd you do, Chris? Who's your number 10 and 9?
Real quick. 10 for me was Demir Miller. Number 9 for me was Donovan McCulley.
Okay. I like McCulley. I didn't put him in, but I like McCulley. Number 9 for me is Will Pauling from Wisconsin. Felt like he had a good year last year. Coming back again this year should be a key piece for what's their OC's name? Phil Longo. For them, he got a ton of targets, over 100 targets last year, and I just felt like he was a good receiver, very good receiver. 834 yards, only 6 touchdowns. Really came on at the end, though. He didn't get a touchdown until week 8 against Illinois, but from week 8 on, he was super solid, had some really good games. So Will Pauling, if he can put it all together in one season, not just the second half of the year, it'll be better, but that's who I got.
All right. Number nine for Boggsy, and I know you all just hating on me, but I'm going to go with Damir Miller. Again, Chris, I'm going to go ahead and echo what you said. 90 catches, 1,295 yards, 9 touchdowns at Monmouth. He's at Rutgers. Rutgers loves to run the football. He's not going to get those numbers again. Better competition and on a team that loves to run the football. And he better learn how to block. If he's a great blocker, that's good for Rutgers. But I do believe he's probably Rutgers' most talented wide receiver in what I think is one of the more talented teams in the Big Ten. I went with 9 for him.
Okay. Number 8 for me. You know what? Like I said, I'm surprised, but I find myself putting 2 Indiana guys on this list. The second one being Elijah Surratt, the transfer from James Madison. 82 catches, 1,191 yards, 8 TDs, 14.5 yards per carry. You know, a favorite target there at James Madison. He's there with his former coach in Indiana now, and I really think that he is going to be a focal point in this offense. So I've got him at number 8.
All right. Number 8 for me is Jeremiah Hunter from Washington. Jeremiah Hunter had 704 yards last year, 7 touchdowns. I'm trying to check my numbers really fast. He only had 2 drops the entire season, and both of those drops came in the week 4 game to Washington. Of course, he came from Cal. I apologize. Mm-hmm. Didn't say at the beginning. Came from Cal. He only had 2 drops last year against Washington. As we know, Cal doesn't have the best team in the world, so I kind of gave him a little bit of leeway for that. But, you know, considering this guy played, 12 games last year and didn't have a single drop in 12 of those games, impressive to me. So, yeah, Jeremiah Hunter.
Number 8 for me is Jamal Banks from Nebraska. 59 catches, 653 yards, 4 tutties. And when you've got a freshman quarterback, I would say project-wise, he might have better stats this upcoming season, but you have a freshman wide quarterback throwing you the football now. So if he has similar stats, I think that's about where he lands, in my opinion. So that's where I have him. We have a $1.99 Super Chat from Blue Wolverine. Welcome back, Chris. And Ohio 775, Devin says, yes, Chris, glad to see you are doing better. Chris was not with us Thursday night. And Chris, do you want to give everybody a quick update? You don't have to. You might just say, no, I'd rather not. We can move on.
I'm feeling better. I've had a few phone calls. Devin and Sean both had reached out to me, kind of know what's going on a little bit. But, things are, feeling a whole lot better now. So
beautiful.
I'm just happy to be back.
Beautiful. There you go. All right, let's see. Chris, you were up with number, I think we're up to 7.
Yeah, we're at number 7. And I'll tell you what, this is where I actually throw in, and I feel like I may be lowballing this guy a little bit, but I throw in my first of my 3 Buckeyes, that being Carnell Tate. He's finally getting his chance to have a major impact role, I think. 18 catches last year, 264 yards, a touchdown, 14.7 yard per catch average. I think seeing him on a more consistent basis this season, those numbers are going to be a whole lot better. That being said, I also think we're going to run the ball more. So I'm tempering that excitement with just a little bit of that common sense rationale a little bit. So.
All right, my number 7 is, and I can't really explain to you why I like this guy so much, but I just really like his game, and I find myself liking this team. It's kind of a random team to like, but Daniel Jackson from Minnesota. Felt like last year he kind of got the raw end of the stick with some bad quarterback play and Athan Kaliakmanis, but yet he was still able to produce very well. He had 101 yards against Iowa. 4 games with 100-plus yards was very good to me. 831 yards on the season, 8 touchdowns, and I just liked that, this wasn't a guy that you saw, he padded his stats against teams like Eastern Michigan or Louisiana Lafayette. This was somebody that he made his impact known in big conference games for him. Of course, he didn't do all that well against Ohio State, but not many receivers do. So, but he did well against Wisconsin, did well against Iowa, Michigan State, and Purdue. Two of those are road games and tough places to play. So Daniel Jackson for me, number seven.
All right, number seven for me is one Carnell Tate, 18 catches, 264 yards, and a touchdown. Here's where we're going to do a little bit of projection. Like you said, Chris, I remember watching this guy in person last year before the season began at practice. He was by far the most productive and best wide receiver on the field last year in that practice, and that included the roster that had Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvin Harrison Jr. said it himself, his own words, Carnell Tate is further along than I was as a freshman. That was a year ago. There's no reason to not believe that he does not take that sophomore step that we've seen so many wide receivers with that much talent do in Brian Hartline's wide receiving development tree, if you will, in this offense. I do believe Emeka Egbuka is number one option, but I still feel, despite what everybody's saying about Jeremiah Smith, and we're going to get to this in a minute because this is going to be the hot button debate tonight, I think Carnell Tate has got one more year experience. He's been on the field. He's gone through that freshman growth that takes place of the speed of the game that every freshman talks about. This will be a big step for Carnell Tate this year. I'm expecting big things for him in this offense. That's where I have him. He could be higher than this, like you said, Chris. Number six.
You had him at seven, right? Yeah, number seven. Six for me. Okay.
Six for you. Yep.
Number six for me, guys, is actually the guy that JR just talked about, Daniel Jackson from Minnesota. I really like this kid. He was the recipient of some bad quarterback play last year, still managed to go out and have the fourth most receiving yards in the Big Ten last season with 831 yards, eight touchdowns. So he's very productive in that situation. I really like him. So I went with Daniel Jackson at number six.
All right, so number six for me, I'm going to go just one spot higher than Eric did, but Carnell Tate for me, number six. I think the quote from Marvin Harrison Jr. Does weigh heavy on me as well, better than Marvin was even as a freshman. And, I mean, we all saw the three guys that started in front of Marv when he was just a freshman, and I think if Marv would have got in there, we probably would have seen at least a top 10 wide receiver in the Big Ten from Marv if he had played all season long. So I'm going to go ahead and say that Carnell Tate is also a top 10 wide receiver, number six in my books. And I think you're right, Eric. I think that for him to get this exposure to the game, I mean, he only had 28 targets last year. It wasn't like he got a ton of time, but he got enough where I feel like he's going to be ready this year. And I think that Carnell Tate is going to be exactly the story that we can tell for Ryan Day and Brian Hartline and this entire coaching staff, where it's like you play your young guys early. Carnell Tate didn't need to play every single snap, but he got in there early enough that he's adjusted to the game now, and he should be very good this year, and he doesn't have to go through those, you know, lumps and bruises like most players do their first year starting.
Bobby Mack, I need to get in touch with you. You've been a member for over a month. It's time to get you your membership T-shirt. So send me an email or message me on Facebook, but send me an email if you can, theohiopodcast@gmail.com. Need your email mailing address and your T-shirt size, brother. So congratulations. Thanks for being a member. Appreciate that. And we will be working towards making sure that you get your T-shirt this month. All right. Number six for this guy is going to be Elijah. And help me with the pronunciation. Is it Sarat or Sarat?
Sarat.
Thank you. And that's who you – did you have him earlier, Chris?
I did. I had him at eight.
All right. So – James Madison, I had an interesting conversation with someone, I forget who it was with now, about we're going to find out this year if a G5 all-star team can actually compete at the Power 4 level in the form of Indiana. Again, those are great numbers, but those are G5 numbers in the Sun Belt. This is the Big Ten. This is big boy football. You're going up now against people like Denzel Burke, okay? Good luck with that. I don't think you're going to have as productive of a season as you did in James Madison, but he has an advantage over the other transfers. He's played in this offense already.
Yes.
He's played in this offense already. So we'll see. Blue Wolverine, now you're just poking me, man. That shirt would look great in Navy. I disagree with that. However, if you become a member and you're a member for over a month, because I know you got your membership purchased for you by Sean Rawlings. We appreciate that, Sean, very much donating to those monthly memberships. But if you continue your membership, I will see if maybe we can't get it in a – not the whole T-shirt, but maybe we can put powder it blue. On a white T-shirt. Oh, powder blue, definitely.
Pansy powder blue. Here we go.
Number six. No, number five, Chris. Right? Six or five. I don't know. Wherever we're at.
Five. We're at five.
Blue Wolverine's got me all flustered.
Number five, and this was based a little bit off of talent, a little bit of what off of what I think he's going to do because of where he's going. That's Evan Stewart at Oregon. He transfers from Texas A&M. Last year had 38 catches, 514 yards, 4 TDs, 13.5 yards per catch. I think the guy's got tremendous talent. He's got a tremendous opportunity given the fact that he's going to be a part of that Oregon offense. And with the attention that the guy on the other side is going to get, I think that's going to play a big factor.
All right, my number five, and I thought I'd be the highest on him, but apparently Chris is higher on him, so he beats me out here. But Jeremiah Smith is my number five. I remember when everybody was talking about who he could be and all this stuff, and could he start? Pretty well surpassed that seemingly right away. Talked about could he be top 10 in the Big Ten. Everybody else seemed to think he could surpass that right away. Well, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to say Jeremiah Smith is going to be a top five receiver in the Big Ten this year. I think that at the end of the day, he probably will become more of an option than Carnell Tate. And that's not me necessarily saying that he's better than Carnell Tate, but I think that he has that type of body, and I think he has those type of ball skills to be more of a in distress, kind of throw it up to him kind of guy more than a Carnell Tate is. And again, that's not me saying he's better than Carnell Tate. I put them right next to each other for a reason, but he would just be kind of more of an option than Carnell Tate in my mind. So Jeremiah Smith, I am kind of going out on a limb here, top five wide receiver in the Big Ten.
I'm going to hold my comment till Chris. Because obviously Chris is super high on him. All right, number five for me is Jeremiah Hunter. I think you guys already talked about him from Cal moving over to Washington. This will be the number one option in that offense for Washington. And as Chris and I have already talked about in our Huskies preview, Washington is an interesting team this year. They're not as bad as everybody thinks they are, but they're not nowhere as good as where they were. So middle of the road, I think he's the best option of a middle of the road team. However, if you talk to the Husky people, they think that they're going to have a really good year again. They think that they can do it again. So not all the way the championship.
Could they make the playoffs? You think they can make the playoffs?
They think their ceiling is knocking on the playoff door. That's their ceiling, knocking on the door.
What do you think, though? Do you think they could do it?
No.
You think 9-10 wins is their ceiling?
No.
I think, 7-8 maybe is a ceiling.
Their ceiling? 8?
Yeah. I think maybe 8 I is think their ceiling. Floor, 9 if they get lucky.
I think their floor is like 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It could get, you know, it's just
I think they might get to 5. They could.
This just is, because of that this home is field not advantage. A total rebuild. It's not right. A total rebuild, but it is a rebuild. Let's not sugarcoat it here, guys. Like
I would
that.
I would say, personally, I think their floor could be 5, just based on the home field advantage, because that is a really, really tough place to play. You're traveling all the way out there,
yes.
Super loud. The way they have it built, I mean, mad props to Washington and Oregon on their home field advantage they both have this year.
Dude, whoever designed Husky Stadium, that dude is a genius.
Yeah.
Because it only holds 70,000, but it sounds like 100. Do you know that they hold the decimal record for loudest stadium of all time? Right there.
And that beats Penn State that pumps music in.
Ooh, slappy. We'll talk about them in a minute. Jay Thompson, I also expect Carnell to take a leap forward, Eric, but I also think JJ is going to pass him at some point during the season. Oh, you guys. All right, where are we at, Chris? Are you up number four?
Yeah, number four. This is where I actually have a guy that JR talked about earlier, and Will Pauling from Wisconsin. You know, third most receiving yards in the Big Ten last season. 74 catches, 837, six touchdowns, 11.3. Yes, JR's right. He kind of came into his own more in the second half. But you know what? Look at a guy like Jack Sawyer, who really came into his own in the second half of last season and where we projected him out to be.
Yeah.
So I really feel like this guy is a talent. I think he can be a major impact on Luke Fickell's team.
I like Will Pauling. All right. My number, four, right? Mm-hmm. Guy you guys both already talked about, Dymir Miller, coming in from Monmouth to Rutgers. I don't think the transition from FCS is as hard for wide receivers. I watch these receivers come in from FCS or Group of Five to the Power Four, and some of them just make the transition. I mean, I'm not going to say seamlessly, but they make the transition much easier than like offensive linemen and defensive linemen do. Yes, Chris.
It's Monmouth.
What did I say?
No, I'm just saying that is where he played, at Monmouth.
Oh. Well, you know why JR has him this high, Chris. Come on.
Well, yeah, I love Rutgers.
Yes.
Come on.
But also, guys.
I think he's a talent. I think he belongs on this list. I agree.
I know it's FCS, but guys, 332 yards against New Hampshire. Like,
wow, that's that where Ryan Day went to college.
I know, yeah, Ryan wow. Day. Good thing he wasn't coaching him.
32 yards against New Hampshire. Wow, that's like going out and, you know,
you think
having
you get 332 yards against him, Chris?
On
JR,
on
on
PlayStation.
I am old and fat. I don't think I can get 34 yards against him.
Eric. What'd you say? You're old and fat, Chris?
I'm old and fat. I don't think I can get 34 yards against them. But come on. Let's be realistic. It's New Hampshire. Most of these guys are going to be bagging groceries at the end of the week.
Ouch. No, I get it. I get the FCS to Power Four is a bit of a hot take. But I like the offensive coordinator at Rutgers. I think Kyle Manung guy's going to have a good season. I'm hoping he's able to turn Athan Kaliak-Madison into something. And we might just be looking at Dymir Miller knocking on the door of the playoffs.
Has he also got him for his Biletnikoff favorite in this one, Eric?
Maybe. You know, when I've been interviewing these West Coast people, they all laugh at Rutgers. I'm like, you all about to get a
– They're going to get schooled.
It's
going
to be funny when they beat him.
Like –
When they punk out USC, I felt
I was crazy until Phil Steele was like, no, Rutgers might make the college football playoff. And I was like, you heard it here first. And JR's like, you heard it here last year.
They beat Miami. Miami's going to win the ACC this year, according to Juck. So,
what? Are you serious?
That's what Juck said, yeah.
Really?
That's his pick.
No, I mean, it's the makes ACC. Sense. It's like the 13th terrible. Grade.
Will the ACC still exist when college football starts?
I don't know, but
please tell me that the college football NCAA football game has an option in there where you can absolutely just destroy a conference if you want, because they're going to need that.
Or you can create a conference.
Create your own conference.
Restructure the conferences.
All right, I think I'm up. Right, number four. Will Pauling. I agree with you guys, Chris. Listen, here's the thing about Will Pauling. This was a guy in his first year in a new offense, and he got super comfortable at the end of that year. And I don't sleep on – everybody's sleeping on Wisconsin. Everybody's sleeping on Wisconsin. Don't sleep on Wisconsin. Luke Fickell knows how to coach ball, guys. Don't sleep on him. Number three, Chris.
I'm going to preface this by saying I think the guy has the potential to be the top guy by the end of the season.
Oh my good. Hold on, hold on.
Yes, I see it just happen. Go ahead.
Sean Rollins, Sean Rollins is literally keeping us in business. Sean Rollins is gifted 5 memberships, 5 more memberships. Sean Rollins is like, dude, you all need to be members of the OHIO podcast. So
he's gifted out what, 20 now, I think?
Maybe. It might be up to, yeah, I think so, because he did 5.
Two fives and then, yeah, 10.
Yeah. Sam, 00, Bradley Dunkel is now a member as well. Bill Mo, and mad props to Bill Mo here. Old school Illinois logo. That's my favorite old school logo right there.
It's an awesome
logo. He have a name? Like Chief something, wasn't it? And then they did away with it because they, you know, they're Illinois and they couldn't do that. But
had to become politically correct.
Yeah, love me some old school Illinois logo right there. Les Austin Jr., welcome, my friend. And then we have David, help me out here. Sabinosh? Does that sound right?
Sure.
We're uncultured swine here, Eric, so yep. You know, we're going to butcher
your
name.
If I just butchered your name, send me an email. Let me know. Let me know how to pronounce your last name. Welcome, guys. Welcome to the OHIO podcast. Bobby Mack, you guys might make it to 100 official members yet. We might. With Sean Rollins' help, we're going to get there, buddy. Awesome. Thank you so much, Sean. Dude, you're such a nice dude, man. Paying it forward. OH to you, brother. Jay, I can't put that up there. I can't put that up there. We purposely none of us even talked about this. What? Did
you see Jay? Yeah. I love it.
None of us talked about this, but we just all know it's an unwritten rule here. We try to keep politics out of the show as much as possible. And given what happened yesterday, I knew none of us were going to touch anything. But Jay,
but if you want to talk politics, go visit our buddy Billy Bob. He'll talk all the politics.
Yeah, there you go. We push everybody. If you want to talk politics, go watch the Backyard Barbecue with Billy Bob. That's where we tell everybody to go for politics. He welcomes it. Okay. What are we on?
I'm
totally lost. Three?
Three. And as I was saying, I believe this guy could very easily become number one by the end of the season. Eric, this is where I've got Jeremiah Smith. And now let me tell you why. No. Granted, he has not played a down on the field yet. Bingo. I agree with that. However, you're talking about a guy with the size of Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
The ability to make the big catch of an Odell Beckham Jr. And Eric, the guy has tremendous footwork. Everything about this guy screams, I'm going to be number one. I may do it as a freshman. And Eric, this guy has come in both physically and mentally, I believe, ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr., who is arguably one of the best wide receivers Ohio State has ever seen. And he has a work ethic, Eric, that is second to none. I'm telling you right now, yes, I'm putting a tremendous pressure on this kid to perform.
Bingo!
I admit that. I think he's up to it. I think this kid is capable of being number one before the end of the season.
Doreen, I don't know what you guys are talking about in the chat, but I loved what you just put. Send me a link or email me. Tell me what's going on with the team. That's awesome. Let me know. Praise Jesus. That's awesome. Thank the Lord. Don't put this hate on him, Chris.
He can handle it, Aaron.
No, you're jujuing him, dude.
He can handle it.
Come on, man. He's a freaking freshman.
He's not on the
freshman. Fresh
meat. He can
meat.
Handle this.
That's what freshman means. Fresh meat. There is no way we should be putting this much pressure on an 18-year-old. No way. That's crazy talk.
A normal 18-year-old,
listen,
I agree with you.
Listen,
this
I want
kid
him.
Is not normal.
I
he
want
is a
him.
Freak.
I want him to have an amazing year. I would love nothing more than to be as wrong could be. But I do not think it's fair to put this kind of pressure on an 18-year-old and he hasn't caught one ball. Not one single football in college, and you have him as the third best wide receiver in the Big Ten?
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Eric, a friend once told me, pressure is a privilege.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That friend, that friend that you talk about is in the NFL, was the offensive rookie of the year in the NFL. He didn't start as a freshman either. Hey, he redshirted.
He had a 48-yard touchdown run in his first run ever, and then he never ran the ball again.
He never ran again until Georgia. Dude,
pressure's a privilege.
I love you guys in the chat. I love Buckeye Nation. I love our optimism. That's what this is.
It's not optimism. It's fact. It happened.
It's not a fact. He hasn't done jack.
Just wait. Just wait.
Listen, how many yards did he have for Ohio State last year, Chris? How many yards did he have in college last year?
He didn't have a single yard.
Bingo!
For Ohio State last year. You know what? Let's go down the list of all the transfers. How many did Surratt have for Indiana last year?
He played college football last year.
He was playing in the 13th grade.
That might be the line of the year. 13th grade. Oh. Hey, when did John Kennedy replace Eric Bond? Listen, I look like I ate four John Kennedys. That's...
And washed it down with hot dog water.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I'm done talking about that. Oh, all right. Back to a real list here. Chris. Goodness sakes.
Mark
Third.
My words.
Third.
Put Donald and Karen's.
All right. Oh, you can see him now?
I can see on my phone. I pulled it up on my phone.
Oh, okay. Got to find it. I'm so far behind in the chat. Let's see. This one here.
I don't know.
J.J. Smith is a freak of nature. He will be the number one receiver in college by the end of the year. Donald, yes. Man, dude.
Yes.
That's even more pressure.
Pressure's a privilege. Yes.
I'm sorry, Steely Matt. I apologize. Dude, Eric, you're scaring my dog. I'm sorry. Listen, I one time a woman came up to me after service when I got done preaching, and she said, "Why do you yell so much?"
You gotta give Sean Super Chat some love here, Eric.
All right, Eric, can you please say I live in a van down by the river?
Eric's gone
Uh-oh.
Full on Matt Foley.
Uh-oh. Podcast over.
Eric, oh, nothing's over. We can keep this going all night long, JR.
Oh, he's back. He's back. Are you going to say it, Eric?
My name is Chris Farley, and I'm a motivational speaker.
Matt Foley.
My name is Chris Wild Man. I work in a shop in Marion County. I sell jerseys. And I believe J.J. Smith is the number three receiver in college football.
Oh, he said Big Ten.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, Eric Matt Foley Boggs. Mark Swick, did you just give me a new nickname? All right, if any of you are really good at... graphics, put my face on Chris Farley. I will post that. I will post that stuff. That's great. Dude, Sean, you won the internet tonight, man. Okay. Where were we? I have no idea. I think you were
number,
up with number three.
Number two, right?
No, I think.
No, I already did number three.
No, you did. And then I started yelling at you.
Well, that's because you're wrong.
All right. Number three for me.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Number three for me is Evan Stewart. Pretty plain and simple. He had a bit of a hard year last year with some injuries and things like that. Didn't play past week 10, I think it was. But overall, yeah, Evan Stewart, very good receiver. And we'll see if he can stay healthy this year. And if he does, he should have a great year. Oregon's going to pass the ball around a lot, I think.
How's that, Karis? Will that do? My chain's bigger than John Kennedy's. You can tell him I said that. All right. Number three for me, Daniel Jackson from Minnesota. Best offensive weapon on that team, and a team that's going to be much, much better than people think. I need to try to get serious again. This show went way off the rails. So that's who I have. And every time I tag anybody that makes the top 10 with Minnesota, we get tons of love from the Sky U Pod guys, which they're the best. They're the best. Number two.
All right. So number two, I've got Tez Johnson, the receiver out of Oregon, 86 catches, 1,182 yards, 10 touchdowns, 13.7 yards per catch. The kid's a tremendous talent, Eric, and it's no surprise to me that we have Oregon and Ohio State leading the way again on these lists as far as who's got the most players. You know, we've said it all along. These are the two best teams in the Big Ten. So I got him in at number two. JR?
Number two for me is his teammate, Tez Johnson. Tez Johnson is who Zachariah Branch dreams to be. Tez Johnson is just fantastic, super fast, speedy player. He had a great year last year, over 1,000 yards receiving for Oregon. I can't say enough good things about him. And he has a very high rating in College Football 25, so he has to be up.
Shut the front door. Get out of here. Tyler with a $5 holla. Eric, Jeremiah Smith will be the best receiver in college football as a freshman. Without a doubt, he's going to destroy Will Johnson on November 30th.
Now that will be great.
That gives me some Buckeye goosebumps thinking about that. Yes, sir.
Especially since JR had this guy listed as the number one defensive back in college football.
Please dethrone him, Jeremiah Smith. Please.
All right, number two for me, Emeka Egbuka. Why he's not number one? He's hurt. He only had 500 and some yards last year. And you all said it. You all been saying it. J.J. Smith's better, right? That's what you've all been saying. But watch what these two are about to do with their number one pick. They're going to put Emeka Egbuka ahead of J.J. Smith, even though they all just said he might be the best one in the Big Ten. So, Emeka Egbuka, I want to see him put it all together. If he puts it all together this year, how do you not have him number one? But he's got to do it. He's got to put it all together. So let's see. Let's see what happens, okay? I'm not going to put that number one label on him because last year was not a number one type of year. So we'll see if he can do it this year, which leaves us to number one, Chris.
You're right, Eric. You're 100% right. Last year was not a number one type of year for Emeka Egbuka. But you know what was? 2022.
Was it?
74 catches, 1,151 yards, 10 touchdowns.
That's about as good as Tez Johnson's year last year.
Not too bad, Eric.
Bingo.
But you know what? I just think that, first of all, I think Emeka Egbuka is going to come back. He's got draft stock to play for. I think he's going to come out and have a tremendous season. This I will say, I think a lot of conventional people think the same way you do, Eric, when it comes to Jeremiah Smith. I think in the early going, you're going to see Emeka Egbuka get an opportunity to pad his stats. I think Emeka Egbuka is still going to be the security blanket because Will Howard, as a senior, is going to be looking for that leader as far as that seasoned guy at receiver, at least in the early going, until Jeremiah Smith shows him. And let me clarify this. I said Jeremiah Smith could be number one at the end of the year, and I still believe that. Going in, I'm going to give it to Emeka Egbuka. And by the way, Eric, just so you know, this love affair you've got with Oregon.
It's not a love affair.
It's almost as bad as
JR's love affair. It's not a love affair.
As bad as JR's love affair with Rutgers.
Oh, ew, come on.
Yeah, but
not even close. It's not even close.
Emeka Egbuka, number one.
I cannot believe you're saying this.
Number one for me is also Emeka Egbuka. Like Chris said, 2 years ago, he had a number one type of season. This last year, he got injured. One thing that did kind of seal it for me, though, was the Missouri game, which, as we know, was not a good offensive game for hardly anybody. However, Emeka Egbuka did have 8 targets for 6 catches for 63 yards, and he did that with Lincoln Kienholz as the quarterback, and Lincoln Kienholz was, as we all know, not prepared hardly at all for that game. So for Emeka Egbuka to go out there and still be a reliable target, 8 targets, 6 catches, getting over 60 yards, I mean, to me, I just think that he is the most versatile, well-rounded receiver in the Big Ten this year. I think he can do whatever you want him to do. If you want him to be a red zone target, I think he can do it. If you want him to go out and be a JSN running all over the field and running amazing routes, I think he can do it. If you want him to run the sweep and get around everybody and be super fast, I think he can do it. He's one of those guys for me. He could line up outside. He could line up in the slot. And I think for me, that's what puts him over the top, that he was able to show that in the Missouri game. He can be whatever you want him to be as a receiver.
You know what else, JR? You know what else he had in 2022 that he didn't have last year? A quarterback! He had Honda McCord, for God's sakes, last year. That might have been the biggest handicap any receiver could have. I mean, all McCord did was go out there, look for Marvin Harrison, didn't see him. Let's throw it to him anyhow. You know, Egbuka was a victim of circumstance as well as injury last year. And this year, I just think things are going to be extremely different. And, you know, Eric, I'm a little hurt you didn't put this guy at number one.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I'm just – apparently I have a love affair with Oregon in your mind.
You do.
I should be.
You've got this Oregon obsession.
I leave this podcast quacking, apparently. By the way, is this Johnny Bullitt from the Scarlet and Great podcast that's commenting? Let me know if that's you, buddy. I think that's you. And number two, I didn't know this. We're able to pull up comments from Twitter now.
Oh, nice. That's fun.
Awesome. By the way, Twitter, 63 people watching us on the old X. Thank you, Elon Musk. Appreciate that. Up to over 100 people watching us right now. Very good. Thank you. So very cool. Darlene, thank you for the links. I will go and read those later tonight. I have one more day of vacation, so appreciate that. I will be checking that out tonight. So very cool, guys. apparently, I need to check my Twitter DMs for more than just a few things, so... very cool. All right. Number one, Tez Johnson, 86 catches, 1,182 yards, 10 touchdowns. Moving on. Sorry.
It's not as bad as putting somebody from that scum up north in number one, Eric.
Zero Wolverines.
Jinx him here, okay? Trying to jinx him here.
Wolverines on our top 10 list right this week.
Well, we've had that a few times.
They have
their best receivers, Colston Loveland, the tight end.
It's true.
You go back and look at the top receivers in the Big Ten last year. The top guy for them last year was Colston Loveland.
Facts.
That's because they had a quarterback for the last couple of years who can't really complete a pass more than 15 yards downfield.
Alex Orji's not going to be able to.
Uh-oh. He says blasphemy.
I think Alex Orji can do a good job of
running the ball.
Like, running the ball, and I think that he should be able to, you know, I don't want to say dink and dunk, but he should be able to make the throws he needs to make underneath.
I just don't know
if he's going to have that downfield. I don't think he's a Jalen Milroe in that way. I think he's the reverse, where he can make the short throws, but I don't think he's going to have the deep ball accuracy that Jalen Milroe has.
$5 holla from Tyler again. Chris, Eric, JR, Johnny, the best part about this receiving core this year, we now have a guy that can throw the ball to them unlike last year. Yes, we do, but the question is, who will that be? Hey, look at this. Member. We just got a member. Barb, welcome to the family. Great to have you with us. I know that Doreen and my wife appreciate having those of the softer variety, and I mean that in all due respect, as women, as a part of this group. So thank you so much for that. But I shouldn't have said softer, because women can – I've been to
– Yeah, I was going to say, you just really called your wife soft?
No, she's not.
You got it coming.
Oh, this is going to be a bad night for me. It's going to be a bad night for me. Barb, welcome to the family. Thank you so much. Appreciate your membership. We hope you enjoy the content that we bring you. Make sure to go check out all of the free content that's members only. So – go check that out on our YouTube page, and your T-shirt will be coming to you in a month. Please go ahead and email me so that I have your email so we can be in touch. You can email me at theohiopodcast@gmail.com. And yes, my wife, that's my wife flexing. So I'm sure I'm going to hear it when I get downstairs. No, my wife is great, guys. I ain't going to lie. My wife is amazing. One of the reasons why I fell in love with her, she loves the Buckeyes just as much as me. So she went to Ohio State. She's a Buckeye, and she loves the Buckeyes. She also went to Akron. That's where she went and got her master's degree from Akron. So when Ohio State plays Akron, it's really funny because I'm like, who are you going to root for? She's like, Ohio State. Akron's terrible at football. All right, quick commercial break. We'll be right back. We got to wrap this show up. We got an interesting topic for our second segment. Be right back. The OHIO podcast is brought to you by Mastermind. Mastermind specializes in 360-degree high-definition mobile video mapping, GIS integration, and traffic safety studies. Mastermind cares about traffic safety and keeping you safe on the roadway. Visit Mastermind at onlinemastermind.com. Oh, these tweets are hilarious. Was that Jay Thompson said something about? Hey, Aaron Nolan's dad's with us again tonight. Welcome, Mr. Nolan. Great to have you with us tonight again, nice. My friend. Appreciate you. Donald says,
Prentice
I bet your wife
is such a cool name. Can we talk
about
that?
Yeah, it is. Isn't that
it
awesome?
It is such an awesome name. I'd have Prentice Nolan the sixth. Just keep using that name. I think Air is the third.
We will know what happened if Eric has a shiner on the next show, Chris.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Been a fun show tonight, but let's light this thing up. If it hasn't already been lit up enough, check this out. So my wife and I went on a little vacay. We got a win away. We always like to go to Presque Isle, which is in Erie, Pennsylvania. Had my headphones on backwards. So you're only from Erie, you're only maybe what, hour and a half, 2 hours from Penn State, I think?
About 2 hours.
2 hours from there?
Yeah.
Much closer to Penn State than you are Columbus, Ohio. Fair?
Yeah.
Yes.
Typically when we're there, we will see much more Penn State stuff people are wearing than we do Ohio State stuff. That was not the case this year at all. It was overwhelmingly more Ohio State stuff. In fact, we're at dinner the last night we're there, and my wife's yelling OH out to people because we were sitting on a deck where people could walk by while you're eating. And so we saw how many people were wearing Ohio State stuff. It was ridiculous how many more people were wearing Buckeye gear than Penn State gear. And that got me thinking, why? Now, Penn State's not exactly – their fan base isn't exactly happy right now with the program, number one. Number two, here's what I want to bring up in discussion. Which program that was a part of the Big Ten in the last however many years is going to be affected the most by the additions of the four new West Coast teams? And by that, I mean this. Who takes a major step back? I don't think Ohio State will. Mm-mm. Even though I don't want to admit it, and they might take a step back this year, overall, unless they get hammered by the NCAA, I don't believe that team up north is going to take a major step back. However, Penn State was always considered the third best team in the Big Ten, were they not? Now that Oregon's here, USC's here, and when Washington is like the Washington that we know in the past couple years, I could see Penn State taking a step back to fifth, sixth best team in the Big Ten. Do you agree, disagree, or is there another team I'm not thinking of?
I think, honestly, Eric, you could see them take a bigger hit than that. Let me explain a few reasons why. For one thing, when we got the additional teams, that was kind of the impetus for them destroying the divisions. Which, let's face it, that meant that all those big former Big Ten West teams, they just got the hammer brought down on them. While the former Big Ten East teams, you'd think, like a Penn State would probably benefit by not having to play Ohio State and Michigan every year. I think obviously the biggest beneficiary, if you look at the schedule this year, is probably Rutgers. you know they didn't end up with any of the big four or five in the Big Ten this year. Penn State, I think you could see them take, especially this year, this is a team that could take a backseat to not only Ohio State, not only that team up north, because let's face it, they're not great against either of those teams. But now you've got teams like Oregon, who would own them. Like you said, Washington could slide in there. USC could step in there ahead of them. Now you've got teams like Rutgers and Maryland, and if you believe some people who think that Indiana is already a bowl contender by hiring this new coach, you've got teams that were formerly held back by the fact they had to face the Big Three every year, going to see improvement in their records. I think Penn State could honestly get lost in the shuffle completely. You may see Penn State fall to as much as a mid-card team in this conference. And like you said, Penn State's already not happy with Mr. 9-3 as the head coach. Because let's face it, that's what he is every year. 9-3, 8-4, that's the best he can go for. Penn State stands to really lose a lot in the fact that while they don't have to play Ohio State and Michigan every year, you figure they're going to get one of them. And now they got to face Oregon and Washington. And I just don't think that Franklin's a big game coach who's up to playing against those type of competitors. I think this is a team, Eric, that is somewhere between sixth and eighth in the conference as we move forward.
I disagree. I think that Penn State will remain around third or fourth in the Big Ten because I think that their scheduling is not going to change much from what it already is. JR.
Chris, we're getting an echo from you again. Whenever JR and I talk, you get your echo, so you need to turn your volume down.
I think that Penn State has been playing Ohio State and Michigan every single year, and they've been getting basically those two teams and maybe another tougher team here and there. They had Iowa last year, but they were able to take care of Iowa at the wideout and that kind of stuff. So, wasn't the biggest test in the world. But I don't see a year where Penn State is going to have to face Ohio State, Michigan, and Oregon very often. You look at this year. They have two tough games. It's not all that much different from what they've been normally getting. So do I think they're a lock at three every single year? No, I don't think they're a lock at three. I do think Oregon is coming in, probably going to be better than them. I think that USC is going to contend with them. But if we're just looking at it from a schedule standpoint, I think they're going to continue to take care of old Big Ten West teams. And as long as Michigan State and Indiana don't rise up too much, or Rutgers don't rise up too much, I think they could remain about a third, fourth, maybe fifth at the lowest team purely because of scheduling.
Man, I got to disagree with you, JR, just because I really feel like you said the beating up on the Big Ten West, but there are a few Big Ten West programs that I think have really, really taken a turn in the right direction.
I mean, they beat and Iowa like 31-0 last year, though.
They did. They did. But you know what? I really feel like, well, in all fairness, Iowa's defense scores more than their offense. But you know,
and
what?
Drew Aller doesn't throw interceptions, so.
Well, no, but he doesn't throw that many completions either.
But that's what Iowa needs, is they need interceptions, because that's how they score.
yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think you look at programs like Nebraska, like Wisconsin, that are moving in the right direction. I don't know that Penn State's moving in the right direction.
I'll believe Nebraska when it happens. I can't keep believing in Nebraska and for them to just keep coming up short. I think Matt Rule is the right guy.
But I've also
thought that Nebraska was going to fix it before, and they don't. They keep staying irrelevant.
Well, they have Frosty over there, and Frosty is not the answer.
Nebraska cannot continue to have that much bad luck. Like, think about how many games they've lost because of bad luck.
By less than 3 points, what was it that year, Eric?
That's not going to continue to happen. Listen, Nebraska's a sleeping giant, dude. You're too young to know.
I'll believe it when it happens.
You're too young to remember when Nebraska was it, dude.
With Tommy Frazier and actually Scott Frost at quarterback, you know?
I played with him on the video game, Eric. They were really highly rated.
Oh, my God. He is poking you about that game.
Reach through the internet and choke you.
Listen, my favorite thing, I forget what year it was, but that one video game when Nebraska was like a 99 overall and everything, you could turn offsides off in that game, and you could literally go stand in the other team's backfield. I think I had 70 sacks one year. Sorry, go ahead.
JR bragging about what he had, what stats he had in the NCAA game when he was 12 years old. That's what this show has digressed into. Wow. Okay.
No, but I see what you guys are saying with Penn State. Like, if we're looking at it power rankings-wise, do I think Penn State
Though, JR? Because it's a beauty pageant after the first four teams.
Yeah.
I mean, we can, but at the end of the day, Iowa has been getting away with going to the Big Ten championship game because they're in the Big Ten West.
Because of the structure.
Right. How many college football playoff games has Iowa been to yet?
None.
Bingo. So it doesn't change.
But Penn State's not going right now either.
Well, Penn State won a Big Ten championship.
One. And they still didn't go.
They're not going to get any, dude. I'm talking nothing. Penn State might as well go back to being independent. They've got as much a chance of winning the Big Ten now as they did before they were in the Big Ten. That's where they're going to be, dude. There is no way Penn State's going to win the Big Ten over Ohio State, Oregon, the team up north, USC, or Washington.
But would they Would they win it? They wouldn't have won it last year.
Who?
Michigan and Ohio State were taking care of them easily.
Yeah, but now they're not even like, they still had a prayer. They don't have a prayer anymore.
Now that divisions are done,
they could have Rutgers' schedule, but with James Franklin as the head coach, he'd still blow it and go 9-3.
Oh, man, I might have to cut that one up, Chris, and send that to Penn State people. Ouch. You know what, though? Here's what's crazy. I think half of them are going to agree with you. They have lost their soul, brother. There's nobody. I am 2 hours away from their campus. That would be like going to Mansfield, Ohio, and not seeing anybody wearing Ohio State stuff. Or Dayton. Can you imagine going to Dayton and not seeing any Ohio State people anywhere? That's what it is like.
Really lost it. Yeah.
It is a ghost town. It's like pulling up to some town out west. No one's there anymore. They have lost their soul, man. James Franklin has destroyed that program. They are so sick of 9-3 and 10-2. I really think at this point they'd be better off blowing up their program and starting over.
I mean, but like let's think about it though. Are they going to go worse than 9-3 or 10-2 in the new Big Ten?
Depends on the schedule.
But
I mean, yeah, they'll go 9-3 if they have Ohio State, Michigan, and Oregon.
Listen, on if the they schedule, go 10-2,
but they're never
going to
get those three and USC and
but
you know Wisconsin.
Listen, until they take a step forward, they're not going to college football playoff. They'll listen. I could not if it's 10-2, Penn State, 10-2, USC. Who do you think the college football playoff's taking?
I mean,
they're taking Lincoln Riley.
USC.
They're taking USC every time because they have an offense. They have history. They have more history than Penn State does. Listen, I know people. We all look at Joe Paul. We see Joe Paul, Woody Hayes, that era and things. We are so far removed from Joe Paul and what he did back in the 80s and 90s at Penn State. We are so far removed from that, man. This program, I'm telling you, they'd be better off becoming a Nebraska and just tearing it down. Now, let's talk about Iowa in the chat. Iowa, you are correct, JR. Iowa has been the beneficiary of falling into the Big Ten championship game. Wisconsin as well. But here's the difference. I think now they have almost a better shot to get into the college football playoff now than they did before, not only because of 12 teams.
Iowa?
Yes.
But,
yes,
but
I do.
If you've got a team
a
like
10-2 Iowa who doesn't go to the college, who doesn't go to the Big Ten.
How are they going
to
get 10-2?
Listen,
they're not playing the Big Ten West anymore.
If Iowa goes 10-2 and doesn't make it to the Big Ten championship game, but they're considered the third best record in the Big Ten, and Penn State's 10-2, I think they might take Iowa over
wasn't
Penn
your,
State.
Wasn't your reasoning just that USC has an offense, so they're going to take them? Iowa has no offense. They're never going to put them in.
Their offense is their
defense.
What
do they have? What do they have? An amazing defense.
I mean, Penn State had an amazing defense last year.
No, they didn't.
No, they
you
didn't.
Just talked about Abdul Carter last year as a linebacker moving to defensive end. You're talking about maybe
yeah.
one of the best defensive ends
one
in the Big Ten.
They had an amazing player, not an amazing defense. Don't confuse the two.
That was a top five defense in the country, top 10 at the very least. I mean, that
what, Penn State.
Yeah, last year. Yeah. That was their best statistical defense under James Franklin.
And then Ann Arbor goes up and de-pantses them by not even having to throw a football in the second half.
Ann Arbor, the cheaters. Okay, listen, they got de-pantsed by Michigan years and years and years. Okay, and at the end of the day, they were able to get to JJ McCarthy. Now, yes, they got de-pantsed because they can't stop the run, and that's on them. That's probably because they had undersized linebackers and they had more of pass rush specialists than actual run stoppers on the defensive line, and Michigan was able to exploit that. Good for them. But at the end of the day, I think you're sleeping on Penn State's defense last year. By no means a Penn State apologist. I hate that I'm doing this right now, okay? But Iowa is going to get it worse than Penn State.
Do you want me to solve the whole Penn State defense thing right now? It's this simple. Honda McCord beat him.
Well, that's true. But that was one game. Look at who Iowa
good.
Lost
they were
to
good.
Last year.
They were good, but they were not the third best defense in the country. I'm sorry, they were not.
I said top five.
No, I'm just answering the question, okay. The comment on the chat. They were not the third best defense in the country. Listen, they with that offense with James Franklin calling plays, there's a chance.
Calling plays, it's Kotelniki now.
It doesn't matter. James Franklin calls that when the game's on the line. James Franklin will pick the wrong play no matter what.
Oh,
promise you.
With that.
Okay. This was a good discussion. So there were. This is what I thought would happen. I would bring up Penn State and everybody would straight go to Iowa. And you did, which is what I thought would happen. Who else?
Wisconsin. Their only saving grace is Luke Fickell.
Yes.
They hired the right coach who can actually lead them through this. If they didn't hire Luke Fickell, if they kept Paul Christ, they would be, I mean, they're turn into Minnesota, Illinois territory. I shouldn't say Minnesota. Minnesota's had some good seasons. Illinois, Indiana, Maryland territory. I mean, if they didn't have Luke Fickell. Now, Luke Fickell could still fail, but I think the saving grace that Iowa has that Minnesota doesn't, or not Minnesota, that Wisconsin doesn't, is Iowa has three rivals from the Big Ten West. So their schedule isn't going to change around as much getting some of these tougher teams. They're keeping three Big Ten West rivals on their schedule. Wisconsin doesn't have that luxury.
It's actually a good point.
That's not a bad argument.
That's actually a good point. I'm like, how am I going to argue this? I can't. That's actually a good point.
And how many protected rivalries does Penn State have again?
Zero.
That's right. So they are going to be fodder for everyone.
But doesn't that mean their schedule's going to switch around more? They're going to get the Ohio States, the Michigans less?
Legitimate question, JR.
What about if Ohio State was a rival for them? How much that would stink for them?
They view us as their main rival, yes.
Yeah, they should be glad.
But don't have the guts to go to the Big Ten and say, protect this rivalry.
It wasn't them. It was Gene Smith. That's fact.
They need to be praying. Thank you for Gene Smith.
Well, just one more reason to hate Gene Smith.
Bingo. Gosh, I'm so glad he's gone. All right. Serious question, JR. Who's better, Penn State or Rutgers, this year?
Like, better overall team?
Yeah.
Rutgers.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think they're better coached, and I think they have, they have a better scheme. I know I kind of like coaching, but just overall, like, program management. I think they have a better person managing their program in Greg Schiano than James Franklin.
Do you think then some of the Penn State fans see this and realize, so the ones especially are paying attention to recruiting? By the way, you guys want to be blown, want your mind blown? Go look at the top 25 recruits in the class of 2025 in the state of Pennsylvania and see how many Penn State does not have. 20 of the top 25.
Now, let me ask you this. Does Rutgers have any?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a shift occurring. There is a shift occurring. Those kids, you know, again, Rutgers is – Jersey is right there next to Pennsylvania. You know, it's – you know, as Rutgers continues to get some of those kids and challenge the recruiting there in Pennsylvania, that's just another reason they're going downhill.
Have you seen the new Rutgers commercial on the Big Ten Network that's got Greg Schiano speaking about we are the state college in New Jersey? Have you seen that? It'll fire you up, dude. Like, there's some, like, when he went back there, it's taken him a long time to rebuild. That's how bad it was under Ash. Like, it was bad. Like, Ash left it in ashes. Okay, it's taken him a long time. He's rebuilt what he had there before when they were in the Big East.
Yes.
Now, is that going to equate to Big Ten championships? No, of course not. But you know what it does equate to? 9-10 win seasons, which for Rutgers is celebratory, which Penn State is.
And Eric, same old. A 10-win season from Rutgers is something that gets, I think, college football excited and might just get the playoff committee excited.
It might. It might.
They could sneak in as an 11 seed or a 12 seed. Or
I agree, Jay. I agree. Penn State has better talent, but Rutgers will have a better season due to their schedule and coaching. Plus, Greg Schiano has more energy and excitement around his program that's building in recruiting and donors, NIL, the DMV, the Jersey Shore area. Pennsylvania right now it feels like it is in decline fast. Last year was the year. They remember all the recruiting, everything they put into Penn State. It was all building up to last year, and last year was an epic failure once again for Penn State. I do not think good times are ahead for James Franklin. And now that USC's in the Big Ten, remember, that was his get-out-of-jail-free card, was he could leave Penn State and go – over to LA and be the next head coach at USC. That's not the case anymore. Now that they're in the Big Ten, I just don't see him doing that. If anything, he'll go back to the SEC when an SEC program opens up for him down there. And You know what? With all this new juice in the Big Ten, with all these four schools coming in, and by the way, there's more coming in. You guys want to do some quick rumors? Let's do some quick rumors. I don't think Florida State and Clemson are coming to the Big Ten.
Yeah, it's the
Let me do this. Let me tease this. This week's behind the paywall video will be what I know on why Florida State and Clemson are not going to be a part of the Big Ten, and why I think there are two schools that are currently, some people are kind of talking about it, might be coming to the Big Ten. Be on the watch out for this video this week. If you're a member, you'll get it. $3.99, that's what it costs to be a member. That's the video we're going to shoot this week for you. Be on the lookout for that. There are a lot of rumors floating around, and there are legs to those rumors. There is a reason why all of a sudden you're hearing about Florida State and Clemson to the Big 12. And it's not because of what you think. Oh, the Big 12 is going to have all this money for them, blah, 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 blah. They're going to try to compete. They were rejected by the Big 10. So all those rumors about they've been talking to the Big 10, the Big 10's going to take them, and they've already got a landing spot. All of that was false. None of it was true. So be on the lookout for that video. This was a lot of fun. Great discussion tonight, guys. Also, our Washington preview will be coming out tomorrow. So this is team number 7, I think we've done. This will be number 7. So let's see, we've done Michigan State, Minnesota, Illinois, Indiana, Purdue, UCLA,
USC,
Washington, and then USC will be next. So that'll be number 7. Thursday night will be our call-in show. So Thursday night, so be on the lookout for that. 8:00 Eastern Thursday night will be our call-in show. JR, anything good happen over at the College Huddle you want to promote tonight?
I've missed the Big Ten show the past 2 weeks because of vacation, so I apologize for that. But we will be back Tuesday, and we are going to talk about some conference realignment. So we'll be talking there as well. That one's not a membership, but I'm not aware of the teams you're talking about. So we might not talk about the teams you're talking about. So go ahead and sign up for that membership. But kind of continuing on with stuff over there. We might do some things different here soon. YouTube's kind of being a bear with getting the new YouTube channel set up for each conference, but hoping to get it done. But hey, go check out social media, College Huddle on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all those places. We're going to, this next week, start trying to make a bigger push at putting that stuff out there. So go ahead and head on over to College Huddle on all of those platforms. TikTok, too. We're going to try to post more videos and stuff. So check us out.
We forgot to do a giveaway. We need to do that real quick.
Yes, yes. People, stop escaping the chat. We got a giveaway for you.
Yep. So I should have done it right after commercial. My apologies. Let me double check real fast. I need to remove David Gilmore's name. He won
the mug.
Yep. He won the mug last week, so we'll take him off. And I need to add to the wheel a name.
Eric, real quick while you're doing that, if I could, let me just throw in there that here in about the next week and a half to 2 weeks, we're going to be adding a lot of autographed memorabilia to the store.
Beautiful.
That I have recently acquired, so... including one of your favorites, Eric.
Ooh.
I got a nice big autographed, professionally framed AJ Hawk.
Woo! That's my boy. Okay, here we go. Let's see if I can get this to work. Let me put this over here real fast, and then I've got to click on that, and let's see. Is the winner tonight of our autograph. Oh, that's just you and me. I'm sorry. I got too many buttons to push over here. ZZM is the winner of our OHIO podcast, Ohio State Scarlet Rally Towel signed by Garrett Stover,
Court Williams
Powers, and Court Williams II. So ZZM, I will be in contact with you so we can get this to you sent in the mail. Thank you, my friend, for your membership. And if you are a member, you have the opportunity to win this or to win our prizes as well. We have another one of these to give away. Plus, we have our big prize at the end of July that we'll be giving away. So congratulations to ZZM. And I think that should do it for tonight. Please like, share, subscribe. We really do appreciate it. We will be back for our call-in show Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Until next time, be kind to one another. I owe someone's OH. Sing Carmen, Ohio with all your heart. Till next time, boys. OH!
I-O.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.